False Bibles are producing false churches, preaching a false gospel and led by false preachers, producing an apostate evangelicalism filled with love of self rather than love for God and His Word. Bible Believers Fellowship stands for the old paths, teaching the old King James Bible at bbfohio.com and heard Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. on 91.5 Freedom FM. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and the conclusion of our study titled The Holy Spirit of Promise. From Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, this is part 2 of 2.
He lives in you.
Yeah.
I remember when I first got a hold of that, because I just heard bad teaching for so long. Now I'm walking around realizing, you know, when I walk out of the church building, I'm taking Jesus with me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because a lot of people have got this thing where I'm outside of church, I'm kind of outside of the temple sanctuary. How many of you heard the place where you call it the sanctuary?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the real holiness people. Like, and that's why they put that plush carpet, and they would drop dead of a heart attack if they seen the way we do church. They're like, coffee?
Yeah.
Tea?
Hallelujah.
A dog? Blasphemy! You know? It's because they think of it as a sanctuary. The temple, you know. It's not. You are the temple. The Holy
Spirit,
He is in you. The Holy Spirit in you. Awesome. If you're saved.
Amen.
If you're saved.
Definitely.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I hope we don't have any of those here today who don't know for sure you have the Holy Spirit in you. You ought to know it, because once you get saved, you do experience Jesus.
Amen.
You don't base anything on experience, but you don't deny it either. See, the charismatics got it wrong. They want to base everything on the Spirit. I've been to so-called Bible studies with charismatics years ago. It was storytelling time. They didn't even want to study the Bible. They just want to talk about, oh, you should see what the Lord did for me this week. And everybody wants to one-up each other. Every story gets a little more wild, you know. And it's like, oh, glory to God. And everybody's saying, oh, glory to God. And they're thinking, oh, I've got to come up with a better story. You know, because they got to one-up everybody. That's not what it's about. It's about you experiencing life in the Spirit, where the Spirit of God in you works in you. And too many Christians just don't know what that is. As you experience this new relationship with God, having His Spirit in you, you have what is an earnest of the inheritance to come. An earnest. It's kind of like it's described sometimes as basically like a down payment, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory.
Amen.
See, what I like to think of it as kind of an earnest is down payment. It's kind of like a taste. It's just a little taste of what we're going to experience in glory.
Amen.
What are you going to experience when... I was joking. I think it was Wednesday or Sunday when I told everybody to stand up. And you should have heard y'all. It's like, whoa, whoa. You know? What? What's wrong with y'all? I mean, you know, you're not glorified.
The back, the knees.
The back, the knees, the neck. Some of you just like the whole body. Everything hurts, don't it? And, you know, as a kid, I just thought, what is wrong with these people? They get up out of the chair. And the Bible talks about the whole creation groaning.
Well, it does.
Y'all are a bunch of literalists. But we do, in spite of the, you know, the suffering, whether it's physical suffering or persecution or whatever, we have this earnest, the Holy Spirit in us. He, think of Him. Start making yourself think of Him. Personal, He is in you. And He wants close union with you. You know, people, again, I don't know you guys, how you live in your homes all the time and everything, but some husbands and wives are just distant. They're married, but they're distant.
Yeah.
And other times, they just seem real close. And I don't know how it comes off you, but I feel real close to my little wife.
Hallelujah.
You know, I love that. And I don't come in the house thinking, oh, what's the nag going to have me? I know some guys who will tell you that's how they go home. They're like, oh, I got to go home. Not me. I'm a homeboy.
Hallelujah.
And I like it when the wife's home.
Amen.
And we have a good time most of the time. And I'm just being honest. I don't want y'all to, you know, envy us. You know, we're human, you know, especially when we got to drive and find some place and Google Maps isn't working right. We're like, what'd you say? I can't have it. Who wants it? You know. But most of the time, we have a real good time together. Amen? We get along perfectly when we're sleeping, by the way. Amen? Amen? It's like kids. Aren't they wonderful when they're sleeping? I mean, So that kind of closeness, I kind of then look at my relationship with the Lord, you know, and I think I want to be as close to the Lord as I am anyone in the flesh.
Amen.
I want to have as close a relationship with my wife as possible, but I always want my relationship with Jesus to be as close or closer than that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not married, then you think of the closest friend you've got. And you want to be close. And that's only going to come when you understand His Spirit is in you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read that book, you're reading the book that's authored by the same Spirit in you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And He's pointing you to Jesus. And He's drawing you to Jesus. And He's making you more like Jesus. And He's using you under the praise of the glory of Jesus. See? Your whole life starts to get wrapped up in, and everything you do now, you're going to think about it. Whether it's being, you know, whatever you do on the job. Even if it's picking garbage. Or if it's painting. Or if you're sitting behind a desk. Everything you do is wrapped up in the fact that you want everybody who... You want your boss and your coworkers to understand you belong to Jesus. The reason you're working the way you do is not because to impress everybody around you. You work to impress Jesus. And everything you do is consumed with the idea of, I want to please Jesus. You have children. What do you want to do? You want to raise them in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, and that the Lord will understand your motive has been to take that child along your side as close as you want to be to them as a parent. You want them to be even closer to Jesus.
Amen.
And that all is wrapped up into Jesus and His Spirit being in you, and you understanding that His Spirit is in you. And you understand you're walking with Jesus. Every moment of your day, whether you think of it or not,
Amen.
Whether you like it or not, if you're saved, you've got all... That's going to make some of you... I'm saying some of you. We know there's eventually thousands of people hear these messages when they go on the radio, on the air. And some of you, of the thousands who hear this message, that ought to be a sobering thought when you're telling the dirty jokes and promoting things that are ungodly or listening to or hanging out where and all those things. Because Jesus is with you 24/7. You didn't put Him on the shelf. And what a change that would make in Christianity today if all the people who were saved, I'm talking about real Christians, not even talking about the Laodicean crowd and all that, we're talking about the authentic Christians, if they lived with the reality that He is in me. I'm taking Him with me. I'm in His presence all the time. I want to glorify Him all the time.
Amen.
What a difference that would make. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. While we benefit so incredibly from this exchange, the purpose and end result is for the praise of His glory.
Amen.
That's the key. If you're doing it because you love Him, you're not doing it because you want people to look at you and say, oh, look how holy.
Mm.
No, I want it all to be about Him.
Amen.
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 Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this message, and we thank You for the wonderful truth of the Spirit of God in us as believers. Lord, we want to glorify Jesus. It's nothing sadder. As I look back on my life, there's times when I didn't. There's times where I let you down. But even then, we know we have such a wonderful, long-suffering, gracious God, our Father, who just says, if we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Immediately we are restored and can just pick up there and go on. Lord, I just ask if there's anyone here today who's been failing, falling, they will confess that just between the two of you. Get that thing right. And then starting today, start to empty their lives of obstacles. Start to remove things that are hindrances. And to really sell out fully and completely to a relationship with Jesus that is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop, with a desire to glorify one and only name, and that's the name of Jesus. Pray these things in His precious name. Amen.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, where the Father went over the way to prepare us the dwelling place
there. Pick it up a little bit.
In the sweet
Christian churches that don't really believe the Bible, and so you're not going to hear anything about the resurrection. I told the story, I was in between churches, and me and the girls went to a United Methodist church on Easter Sunday, which is supposed to be about the resurrection. I knew that we were in trouble when we walked in this real nice Methodist church. And all over the walls were these big butterflies. Everywhere, butterflies. And I said, Greg, don't get judgmental. You're liable to still hear something good. Because the person who had invited us said, oh, our United Methodist Church is one of those, we really do believe the Bible. So, oh, well, great, you know, I'm in between churches, we'll go. And they had, you know, given us a nice invitation. So, she didn't mention that her pastor was a reverend woman. Okay, so I'm seeing butterflies, the preacher's a woman, and I hadn't smoked anything. Okay, just think about that. Then she goes into this thing, and it doesn't have anything at all to do about Jesus Christ being risen from the dead, conquering sin and death. It was, though, she did use the word resurrection. She said, the resurrection, without any real reference, it's sort of like a cocoon. And when the butterfly comes out of the cocoon, it's a beautiful butterfly. Of course, I'm thinking of the Disney. I'm a beautiful butterfly. You know. And she says, that's what we're here to celebrate today. All of you can be beautiful butterflies. I just sat there. I mean, you can just picture me sitting there, just looking at her like, you have got to be kidding me. And I wanted to stand up and just start preaching, but sometimes I behave.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.
I stand in the presence of Jesus and Mary. Wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned and unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful am I known to liberty. How wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
awesome song.